Hi, everybody, and welcome to the San Luis Obispo County Flood Control and Water Conservation District Zone 3 Advisory Committee. My name is Bill Rabinalt. I'm chair, and I'd like to ask Dean Benedix for a roll call.
Mr. Dahl?
Here.
Mr. Rabinalt?
Here.
Mr. Versaw?
Here.
Mr. Costello? Absent. Mr. Gehring?
Here.
Mr. Wallace?
Here.
Mr. Reynolds?
Here.
And we have a quorum, Mr. Benedix?
Yes, we do.
Thank you. Okay, let's move along to public comment. At this time, I'll entertain comments from the public not related to the anything on the agenda. And I'll open it up at this time. Seeing none, I'll close public comment. And let's move along to the minutes of July 20th, 2006. Dean?
Yes, I do have one correction on page 2. Mr. Seabach's first name was spelled incorrectly, and I will correct that.
Okay. Board members?
Move to approve as amended.
Second.
I have a motion and a second on the floor under discussion. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed? Passes unanimously. Thank you very much. At this time, just so the public is aware, we have a status report from Lake Lopez. And it's a talks about the water and the fishing and those types of things, and it's very, very informational. And Don Mellon is in charge of that, and in his stead, he has sent this evening Chuck Woodward. And Mr. Woodward, if you'd approach the microphone and give us your report.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Well, thanks. It's good to be here in place of Don Mellon. Seriously, 11 major medical responses, 48 minor first aid responses. As far as injuries, we take safety very seriously out there. It was, at least in my opinion, nothing very serious happened. We had some, you know, usual broken bones and that kinds of thing, but no broken necks, no prop accidents from boat prop propellers. Of course, no deaths, and that's always a good year for us. So as far as, and we attribute that to, we have right now some very good staff out there, and we also had help from, of course, the Sheriff Department. Of course, as we do every summer, we had some really good staff from the Sheriff's Department help us out on the weekends and just did a bang-up job. We're out there and... in my opinion, prevented a lot of things from happening this summer. So that was a good thing. If you're a fisherman, you need to get out there. The fishing is good. You can spread the word. If you know what you're doing, you can catch some fish. If you're a crappie fisherman, red ear, bluegill, this is the time to get out there. The lake level is up. It has flooded acres and acres of vegetation, which results in the fish fry to survive because they have cover. When the lake was low for over a decade, they literally had no cover. Most of the fish fry got eaten. With the lake up and lots of cover now, the next starting this year and the next 3-4 years, fishing should be outstanding. If we even get an average rainfall this year, the lake might even fill up. That would be nice. But for example, the crappie fishing. It says limits within a half hour. Keep in mind a limit is 25 fish. I've personally caught literally a fish a minute. That's how good it is, and it's been great. Of course, you know, it is a great warm water fishery. Bass fishing, we had a lot of bass tournaments out there, and you know, the bass fishing has been okay. A lot of decent sized fish, 2-pound fish, 2 to 4-pound fish. So get out there and do some fishing. We had an active interpretive and special events calendar this past year. Although we are somewhat staffed, our staffing levels are kind of low, we still squeaked in a lot of interpretive type events, guided hikes, our nature hikes, campfire shows on the weekends. And we had quite a few people who came out who weren't camping, folks who read it in the paper who came out to painting, you name it. If you've been to Lopez Lake recently, you know that's what we are in need of. And having the staff to do those basic things helps. But that's what our focus is going to be this winter, this slow time. That's when we typically get all of our projects done. But the most exciting thing that's happening is the Cal Boating Grant that we are awarded. Our launch ramp docks will be replaced. Our parking lots, the marina parking lot, will be resurfaced and repaved. And that was scheduled for May of this year, postponed to this fall, and we'll see. Special events upcoming. Of course, we host the Family Day every year. That was attendance was low. I think the estimated Family Day attendance this past weekend was just about 250 people who came out specifically for that event. Not sure why the attendance was low, but people who did show up had a great time. The Scott Tinley Triathlon is coming up, and that's a big one. And of course, we have interpretive events scheduled throughout the slow months as well. The lake capacity, we are up just under 90%. The lake hasn't been this capacity in about a decade for several reasons, but again, if we do get at least average rainfall this year and good timing, the lake should probably fill up. It's a very stable lake. Once it gets this full, we still have a couple live streams coming in. The lake has maybe dropped a foot and a half. I think our highest, we were at 90% at the start of the season. It says 89.5, but I think we're even before that, we were a little bit higher. Our revenue is up this summer over last, not by much, over $40,000. However, our attendance is down, at least that's what it says here, but money counts. And that's it. Any questions?
Board members.
Yeah.
Yes, please. John Wallace?
Yeah, I just got a quick question on the revenue and the attendance. Your attendance was down, but your revenue was up. Is that as a result of increased concessionaire fees or increased fees at the gate?
We did have a $1 fee increase over last year, but that could be the reason. And we are going to have a substantial, more than a $1 fee increase starting first of
quick questions. Sure. One of them is cougars or any of that stuff, many sightings out there, any interference?
We had lots of sightings, and what I mean by lots, it seemed like at least one a month, and that's mm. and we call those credible sightings. About half the sightings we get are not credible, meaning people saw something else, a bobcat, a fox, or whatever. All of our sightings were considered normal, meaning the mountain lion was running away, crossing a trail, crossing a road, something like that. We had not even a hint of a lion acting inappropriately, and that's the purpose. We do take a report every time we have a mountain lion sighting. We do that report. We notify Fish and Game, county admin, county trapper, but they do want to know what the nature of the sighting. If the cat was doing something strange, meaning stalking your kid, dog, running away with your kid or dog, nothing like that. And as far as I know, and I think a reason because that we had normal sightings is the deer population, the turkey population, the rabbit population, etc., is rather high. We've had a series of good springs and a series of good acorn crops. Any mountain lion that finds itself at Lopez Lake is one happy cat. The sightings that we have had, we typically find a series of kills, usually deer. The typical scenario is they feed on that deer for 3 to 6 days, depending on how hot it is. When it starts rotting, they abandon it. That's when other critters pull it out from the cover. They usually have it buried somewhere, and that's where we usually find them. Sometimes we find them in a kind of a general area where they'll stash, you know, two or more carcasses. But I still think, personally, you're extremely lucky if you get to see one. So.
All right, good. And it's just like the white sharks that we have off the coast. You know, that's an area of interest. And I get several questions about that, you know, because of other sightings that are unusual.
Okay.
You know, like down on the beach and those types of
yes.
things.
Yes, so, when you get the kitty cats who have left the good feeding areas and are stressed.
Sure.
It's the animals that are stressed start doing strange things, such as sitting on your back deck and running away with your dog or
exactly.
something like that. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
Good. The only other question I had was about, you know, Cub Scouts or Boy Scouts or some of these service organizations.
Chaperoned by plenty of adults who have some skills, and yeah, they can do some good stuff for us. So.
Right. Chuck Woodward, I appreciate your coming out and explaining all this tonight. If there's no other questions from any other members, you're excused, and thank you for the report.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Okay, let's move along now to the operations report, and that would be Dean Benedix.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. As was mentioned by Chuck, the lake is about 85% capacity right now, which is excellent this time of year. The plant is making approximately 4.5 million gallons per day production. We're delivering almost 2 million gallons per day of state water through the combined pipeline, which totals about six and a quarter million gallons per day. The terminal reservoir is having some clarity problems. We are treating that with copper sulfate, and according to the staff today, they were treating it again today, which is the second time this week, so they're trying to get ahead of that, but we're having a little bit of problems with that. And the releases are 4 million gallons today per day downstream for environmental use. I did notice this afternoon in your packet that the attachments 3-1 through 3-4 are erroneous. I don't know which ones are wrong, but for some reason CSA 12 information is in there. It's duplicated. And July and August numbers are the same. I'll have those corrected. I didn't check those before they went out. We had a new staff member just downloaded them and apparently got the wrong ones. So I apologize for that. I'll have those corrected in the next meeting minutes. And that's the end of my report.
Okay. Any questions from the board? Yeah, please.
Dean, could when you get those reports corrected, could you go ahead and distribute them right away just so we'll get them in a more timely manner?
I'll do that.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other committee members have any questions? Okay, we'll accept the report as presented. Thank you, Dean, very much. Let's move on to old business. And one of my favorite people, Straith, is on now, and she's going to talk about the fourth quarter budget and plant upgrade tracking. Welcome.
Thank you. Good evening, Advisory Committee members. For the record, my name is Straith Smith-Sinarta with Public Works. And before I go into my report, I just wanted to respond to Mr. Wallace's question regarding the concessionaire's revenues. I have that information back at the office, and I'd be happy to get it to you on Monday.
No problem. This is a general comment.
Okay. Enclosed in your packet is the flood cars will be rolled over into this current fiscal year and used to finish these projects. There will be a small billing, overall billing credit issued to your agencies in December against the current year billing. The first graph is for capital outlay and reserves. Actual expenditures are under budget by $99,000, and this is due primarily to one capital project not being completed last fiscal year, which was the domestic tank exterior. The unspent amount was carried over to this fiscal year. I know I sound like a broken record, but I just feel like I need to be thorough in my explanations. This amount was carried over, and the project, I believe, is just about finished. The second graph is for routine operations and maintenance, and there was a savings of $314,000, or roughly 17%. The unspent amount encompasses several categories, but it's primarily in the water treatment plant, the water treatment expense line item and the hydraulic expense line items. The third graph is non-routine operations and maintenance. There was a savings of $195,000, or roughly 45%. The lion's share of this is the pigging project, which, again, will be carried over to this current fiscal year and will not be part of the billing credit. And this concludes my report. I'd be happy to answer any questions at this time.
Members? She's so thorough.
Well, thank you.
What didn't we do that we were going to do to save on $300,000?
Well, it was primarily in those two line items. I don't have that detail in those two categories, the water treatment and the hydraulic expense, but I can get that information. Right, the detail of the budget is probably about this thick, so, but I can get that information.
I just wondered if that was some things that we were able to forego since we're doing the whole retrofit on the plant.
That's something we'll evaluate when we're doing next year's budget, because I think that the water treatment line item has historically been coming in under budget, or at least since I've been the accountant for Zone 3. So that you raise a good point, and we'll look at that when we come around to budget time.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes. Larry?
Thank you, Mr. President. Straith, I'm not accustomed to looking at budgets where Your budgeted expenses are exceeding it anywhere.
Well, I would like to say that I think we're budgeting very well, but half of the savings is really due to the capital projects, the capital projects that I discussed. So the difference is, I feel reasonable. I mean, a reasonable variance, and gratefully, it's worked out that it's, you know, in your favor.
So from an accounting viewpoint, the percentage, that it's within a kind of an expected tolerance in terms of percentage, higher or low, either way, it'd be about right.
I would think so, considering the overall budget. The billing credit, as I said, is minimal in comparison to the overall size of the budget. So I think it is a reasonable percentage. But the point that Mr. Runnels made about, you know, those two line items, I think is worth looking into when we do our budget next time around.
What was the total budget that's represented to this point?
I don't have that here with me, but I think I might have it back in the folder that I brought with me.
I'm trying to get my mind around exactly how the numbers relate to each other, but thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, I know there was a couple of issues that we have savings involved. One is, Strace mentioned the domestic tank project, which has been completed. I think we had something in the range of $35,000 as a contingency in there, and we didn't use any of it. Actually, we saved some money. And the other was, we had budgeted, as you recall, one extra water systems worker position for last year that was not filled because we didn't have enough qualified candidates, and we have two budgeted for this year to be added. So I'm sure there's pretty significant savings, and we are recruiting for those positions now because of the increase in the operational issues and functions, and those are being recruited now, but basically we have three positions that are not filled at this time yet, and that's probably a significant part of that.
Yeah, one of the things that has always, pleased me is the county accounting staff, because they're very conservative. And it shows almost every year. It shows that we do have a surplus of sorts, and these here, the majority happen to be just because of unfinished projects that we still need to finish, and we still got to spend the money. It's just and that's where it's going to end up going. But one of the things that I want to be careful about here,
and what the final costs come in as, result in a billing credit to your agencies, or an overall billing credit. It doesn't go anywhere else except back to the Zone 3.
Okay.
No, we have a very we're very methodical about that in the way that we track all the costs that are specific to Zone 3, and there's, you know, if you don't use it, you don't pay for it, and you get it back in the form of a credit.
Right. Well, good.
So, no, yes.
Good,
no, absolutely.
I understand how.
I think what Bill's looking at is he wants to make sure Zone 3 money stays within the zone.
Yeah, absolutely.
It
right.
Does. It does.
Absolutely right.
Yep. It does.
Remember what we went through on the retrofit, where they're going to take the mitigation money for fuel and move it someplace else?
Oh, sure.
But, we prevailed and had it stay here.
I'm not aware of that one, but.
That's way back.
That's way back, but. It's just one of those things that are, it's kind of a top of mind awareness for me, you know, when I hear about these things and I hear that we haven't hired some people, so there's some extra money there, and if so, does it go back to the agency, or does it just somewhere disappear in the county of San Luis Obispo's budget someplace? Good. Well, you answered. You said the right thing.
Okay. So. Good.
And I'm sure you'll do the right thing.
Absolutely.
Straight. Thank you very much for your.
You're
report.
Welcome. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Mr. Chairman, I had one question.
I'm sorry, Straight. Excuse me.
Maybe of Dean or Straight. I'm not sure. Part of the savings was due to the deferment of the pigging project.
Yes.
And the question is, what's happening on the pigging project, and is that going to be a current expenditure in 06-07?
Yes, I can give you a briefing on that right now if you'd like.
Just briefly, is it scheduled for this fiscal year?
The first phase of the project to install the receivers and installation sites, we're going to try to get done this fiscal year, yes.
Okay. But the actual pigging operation may be 1 year beyond that?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, Stray, thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
As you walk back to your seat, I'll explain that a little bit to the public. There's a lot of terminology that's used in government, and sometimes the viewing public doesn't understand it. Pigging is a process, and I understand they call it pigging because of the squealing noise that it makes. And it's a device that's actually put down inside of the delivery pipes. And there is silicon and other things that build up within those pipes, which lessens the capacity, so periodically they have to put this pigging device in there to actually...
...that shows a couple of pictures on it. The current status of the upgrade project is we're, as far as time passed, we're approximately 50% complete through the construction contract, and money-wise, we were also approximately 50% complete. We're right on track. The current construction that's going on is... A lot of foundation work and conduit work has been done for the electrical building. There's a separate small electrical building that houses all the electrical panels. We have installed the emergency generator, which is a very large, very impressive looking structure. That has been installed, and that will be, we've gotten power set up from PG&E. We had to have a new power source installed. That's been completed. They are installing the concrete block on the chemical building. The mechanical piping and the overhead piping for in the membrane building is being installed. We haven't, our contractor has not yet began installing the second or the four membrane facility rack equipment yet. That will be starting very soon. The three large turbine pumps that take the water from the pretreatment basins and put it through the membrane system have been installed, not tested yet. And the laboratory control building inside, you were there a couple of months ago, it was empty. Now it's all full of studs, piping, and they'll be ready to drywall that within a couple of weeks. Construction is going well. Just a real brief summary of the flow idea we have. There's a provision in the contract to undergo a split flow condition, which would be half of the plant producing 3 million gallons per day, while the new membrane system without pretreatment will also produce 3 million gallons per day for a total of 6 million gallons per day total capacity. And we're anticipating foregoing in having the membrane system installed and operational because we can get farther into construction and have the pretreatment accomplished. And how we would be doing that would be by taking more state water, which we do get from the state next year, taking more water early in the year and taking less water later in the year, having a net balance for the calendar year of no different state water than our allotment, but adjusting that a little bit, and we'll be working with that in the next month or so to get that all finalized. That's my report.
Okay, committee members, any questions?
That has to do with an interim plan to try to attempt to store more water in Lopez Dam by releasing less water for environmental purposes down the Rio Grande Creek from the dam. The first item that I have on the agenda is an endorsement item reconsideration. In your packet, let me find the attachment before I get into this. Page 7-1 of your agenda is a short memo, and let me go back a little bit. At the last Zone 3 Advisory Committee meeting, your committee voted with four aspects of endorsing of the IDRS plan. At the TAC meeting, the Technical Advisory Committee meeting of Zone 3 earlier this month, the Technical Advisory Committee indicated they had some sensitivity to a simplistic motion of not being sensitive to the environmental and regulatory agencies by saying we're implementing this plan in order to store more water in the dam. And it was their recommendation for the first part to change your approved endorsement of the IDRS plan to change it to, I will just read this, it's a memo that was in your packet, to change the endorsement to the goal of the IDRS is to, the changes as follows, more effectively managing downstream releases prior to approval of the project's HCP, which is the Habitat Conservation Plan. That was the first part of the suggested consideration for your committee. And the second part was made by staff to assure that there was an understanding that we had obligations to the regulatory agencies. And the change to the last part of the recommendation is to include the following language, as much as hydrologically feasible while maintaining the change being as follows, obligations under existing federal and state laws and regulations. And the strikeouts are in your packet there. So,
well, the problem I have with that, Dean, is what you're saying, though, in that statement is that we're going to maintain the 2 million gallons a day release. That's what you've said in that last statement.
There is no specific. So I'll provide that comment. So that's what we're attending to.
Okay, Tom.
Well, I think when you go back to the original motion that we passed last meeting, you take section C and number 7 pretty well spells it out. As far as I'm concerned, I mean, we've massaged this and gotten it. Legal language and whatnot. Well, let's simplify it so everybody can understand it. Because it seems to me like when you say guaranteeing them so much water, well, that's going to just put an open flag up there and let them go at it.
Well, we're not guaranteeing. Then that's why I did want to send this to you so you could read it and see it and see if you wanted to massage it. But this was the sensitivity that I brought up, and I'll just be quiet and let you discuss it.
But, you know, any time that we put something out for them, they're either going to say yay or nay on it. So we've got a legitimate motion passed at the last meeting, and I think we ought to run with that and see what happens. That's my opinion. I wasn't at the technical committee meeting, so I don't know what the discussion was.
Jim? Garen?
Dean, to what degree do we expect the resource agencies to be aware of this passage?
We will include, when we discuss this with them, that the advisory committee has endorsed implementation of the IDRS. Probably that's the extent that we would advise them. The specific wording of a motion, I doubt that we will, although later in this presentation I will discuss one of the agenda items is the implementation in the presentations to Zone 3 agencies about the IDRS, and we are in the process of preparing a draft resolution that will address that, to take that to each of the agencies or cities. So there will be a resolution that we anticipate the agencies and the county board will approve, and that will be on file, which I'm sure the agencies will want to see the language of to make sure that we're not violating any issues, which certainly is not the intention of what we're doing.
Mr. Wallace, do you have anything?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I have a little bit of difficulty with the wording, and I apologize, it wasn't the last TAC meeting, Dean, so I don't recall the change there. If I was maybe asleep, I can't remember. But I have a little bit of difficulty with the wording of maintaining obligations under existing federal and state laws, because I think part of the controversy revolves around other interpretations of the regulations.
Well, I think we all recognize that there are obligations that have been unilaterally imposed upon us to maintain environmental releases in certain conditions. And the simplistic one is not having a take, which is an impact, injury, death of the steelhead trout fish. So we do have obligations to meet those regulations.
And I understand that, I guess, but in the more specific sense of the actual release that we're making, which is been fairly constant for several years, a number of years. We're not obligated to that release.
Not a specific quantity, no.
Exactly. And perhaps that that amount of the release might be viewed as an obligation at some point here. I don't know. We're probably picking apart some gray words here.
Well, but I think that it's there are at least three of us that I've heard that have voiced that that same concern. I'd like to hear from Vern.
You know, I wish I could add something to what's been said, but I really can't at this point.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Versa?
Thank you. It reads kind of awkward, both the way we originally proposed it and the way it's proposed now. But I was wondering, thinking about following up on John's comments, the word, perhaps it's this combination of words, maintaining obligations under existing federal and state law. If there's a debate about exactly what those obligations are, I mean, you mentioned the fundamental obligation is not to go out and kill trout, or not to do something that would cause that unnecessarily. Maintaining, to me, kind of implies that we're going to continue to do the same thing that we've always done, and I think that's the objection, is we think that we'd like to implement some changes, still protecting the trout, but implement changes that are reasonable. And I wonder if we took the word maintaining out or substituted another word in there that indicates that we want to be respectful of these obligations.
Of maintaining obligations, that was something that the staff put together and put down for your consideration. I certainly can see your concern about that. We could change something like that to complying, or I could come back to you with some language basically from the federal regulation that says you shall comply with the whatever it says.
Well, but you see, just one second, if I may. The thing that concerns me about that, again, is, well, I've come up with some language that I think just might fit in there, as much as hydrologically feasible while ensuring the life cycle of the steelhead trout. Period. That's what it's about. It doesn't reference any prior obligations, current obligations, or future obligations.
No, that,
that's not a good one.
Chairman,
okay.
If I could.
Yes, uh-huh.
Following up with Mr. Versaw's comment, I think the word respecting could be substituted for three words, maintaining obligations under. Substitute respecting for maintaining obligations under.
By respecting existing federal and state laws. Well, there you go.
Well, and I think another thing we need to consider here, too, is that there's 4,200 acre feet of water that's obligated to go down the creek for agriculture and municipal use. Now, we're just talking about the excess over and above that if we get to that point. I mean, historically, up until the time that we started to release water downstream to keep the fish alive while we were under the retrofit and had to reduce the level in the lake, we weren't letting out that much water. We were averaging, about 3,000 acre feet a year or less? And so we had extra water in there. But now, with the lowering the dam level to do the retrofit, we've established a point where we're letting out about 1,000 acre feet of water more than we really need to, and that's been going to the fish. So we don't want to give away all of our water at one time.
We don't. You're absolutely right. Is there any comment of Mr. Gehring's suggestion?
Mr. Chairman, I like Jim's suggestion. I think that that tends to minimize my concern about the word obligations. Mm-hmm. For what it's worth.
It's worth something.
I have no problem.
Well, hearing none, I think at least by consensus, what I hear is that we would like to change staff's
paragraph 7C with the new language as Mr. Gehring had stated. I will do that.
Everybody have a clear understanding of that?
Are you looking for a motion?
Yes.
Well, we would need a motion on that to amend.
I'll make that motion that we substitute for the three words, recommended words, maintaining obligations under, we substitute with the word respecting and otherwise approve it.
And included in that motion, you are requesting that we take 7C out in its entirety and replace it with this paragraph.
That's correct.
Okay. Okay, I have a motion on the floor from Member Versaw. Do I have a second? I'll second it for discussion purposes.
I have a question.
Okay, under discussion.
You know, we're talking about changing this right here, but in C, we're also addressing the fact that we want to try to generate some surplus water.
But I think that that's what the technical advisory, if I'm understanding it correctly, that was the technical advisory committee's position, is that they didn't want to blatantly say that, mm-hmm. that what they wanted, that is our goal, but they didn't want it so blatant as to put it in the face of people. And therefore, I agree. With them, I'm still a little concerned about Committee Member Gehring's question, in that how far are we going to go in notifying these authorities? What I'm understanding is that we should in fact notify the different jurisdictions within the Zone 3 organization, but I don't know that there's any need to bring this forth to anybody else. I mean, I don't know under what circumstances you would do that anyway, and we certainly wouldn't want to make an effort to do that.
Well, if we don't want to make an effort to try to generate any surplus water, why do we need the monitoring stations that we're going to spend a bunch of money?
No,
but it's all tied together.
No, what I'm talking about is the federal agencies. Why do we need to go up there? What we're trying to do, you're absolutely right, but why do we need to make it a point to go to them and say that we're modifying anything, when all that we're looking to do is, nobody wants to kill a steelhead trout.
U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and if we make an adjustment in those flows and they're not told of it from our position as independently, rather they find out about it, it might significantly jeopardize his position credibility with them.
Well, if there was a specific flow that has been established, but I've heard now here from three different members, including yourself, that there isn't. So if there isn't, and we're not hurting anything by doing what we're doing, doing it at least under the Mr. Hutchinson's design elements that he's come forward with, I don't know. You know, it's almost like if you're trying to sell a car, and you know, it's a good car and you want it to sell it and all of that, but gee, the guy sits down and starts talking to you about it and said, well, yeah, I mean, one of the tires are a little bit bald and that kind of stuff. It's a degradation process that can go on. And I'm not saying that I want to hide or cheat or anything like that, but it, you know, there's such a thing as giving too much information.
Yeah, but in this situation, you better be up front with everybody, because they got the ultimate hammer on you. And if they come back and find that you're trying to pull a fast one, well, then that hammer could hit pretty hard,
but,
in my view.
Yeah, but I see it as a fast one.
They already have all this information. We've established for years that we create surplus water. And the only thing that's changed is now we've got to create surplus water, the extra water, to take care of the damn fish.
All right, well, I mean, it isn't that big of an issue. I just think that it's, you know, if you don't have to give as much info, then don't give it. But, I mean, if the board feels differently on that, that's fine. We have a motion, and we have a second on the floor. Any more discussion?
Is this the only change we're going to look at, or are we going to continue to look at other changes, possible changes or anything?
You mean at subsequent meetings?
No, or? with this...
Oh, it's under discussion. It's on the table.
Okay.
So if there's if
so
you
this
have
is
some
just for this one change right now.
Okay. Yes, that's right.
Okay.
Right. All right. Hearing no no further discussion or questions or comments, I'm going to ask everybody in favor of this motion to signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
Okay, we have 5-1.
Agencies that we supply water to, which is Grover Beach, Pismo Beach, Avila CSA, Oceano, and Aurora Grande. And we're anticipating that in October we will be coming to each of those agencies with a resolution recommending that each agency's city or agency review it and approve that. We will anticipate that next week we will send that out to you, the resolution. I have a draft copy of it here. I was going to read just short excerpts of it. It's obviously consistent with what the resolution is that you passed and the attention of the address. There were a couple of subtle issues in it that I did want to just point out. Resolutions have a series of whereases and then a conclusion of recommendation. A couple of those I just want to read specifically is the language you will see. Whereas analysis done by the district concludes that reducing downstream releases during and immediately following heavy precipitation during the wet season January 1st through March 31st has the potential to increase storage in the reservoir by amounts that exceed 204 acre feet, which is the deficit that we now see, without resulting in impacts to environmental resources, including steelhead and red-legged frogs. Whereas the district has developed an interim downstream release schedule under which it would reduce releases at certain times during wet seasons while closely monitoring stream flow to ensure that the flow in Aurora Grande Creek is sufficient to protect environmental resources. And whereas the IDRS would also enable the district to further investigate the response of Aurora Grande Creek to precipitation events and to develop management tools that maximize environmental protections while meeting municipal water demands. Although the IDRS has been designed to ensure that no impacts to sensitive species occurs, alterations in the current release rates could potentially result in regulatory action by state and federal resource agencies. And whereas implementation of the IDRS and enhanced monitoring provisions will increase the cost of municipal water supplies, now therefore be resolved that the agency of the city endorses the district's proposed IDRIS plan, and the city acknowledges and accepts the increased cost and risk of regulatory action associated with implementation of the IDRIS schedule. That's just a short, brief summary, but I wanted to read it. I'm sorry I don't have a copy for everyone because it's still sort of in process here, but we anticipate, as I said, we would send a draft.
You know, for a taking or something, I don't know. I think that's TMI, but
I thought we were simply going to hold county staff and or district staff harmless from any result of taking. That's a misunderstanding, perhaps?
I don't know that we specifically discussed that. I think the issue is obviously that there are regulatory problems and issues, jail time, fines, et cetera, all associated with any taking that's connected with us making adjustments in that environmental flow that's determined to be the fault.
Hold it. We've made adjustments in that environmental flow routinely over the last 30-odd years of operation of this facility.
Well, with the, you know, the institution or the requirements with the CEQA and the Endangered Species Act, which have happened, those have changed the rules in the last, 8 years? And that's what we're responding to right now. So this, as I say, this came out of the staff and the staff's consultants' work to bring to the agencies as, I guess, as a result of what the IDRIS is anticipating and the responsibilities and the obligations that the district has for the releases and for the environmental considerations for the water. So this is what we'll be presenting. And I will bring it to the TAC committee. I didn't have it until earlier this week. Otherwise, I would have included it in the package, so I didn't want you to think I was hiding it from you. Obviously, that's why I wanted to read it. But this is kind of where we're starting at.
Yeah, no, I think everybody has a great deal of respect for you, Dean. It isn't anything like that, but I'm, you know, we need to make this happen. And the various municipalities, I mean, I can't imagine our city attorney allowing us to enter into anything like that personally. I don't know. Grover, do you have a feel for that?
It's gonna be a tough one to explain when you come to risk benefit. I think we need to have a clear picture of that.
And what we will do is Mark Hutchinson will come to each agency, each city, and do a sort of a shorter presentation than he did last time when he was here at the Idris at our meeting. So that's what the intention is, to provide to each of the agencies to discuss that fully with them. And you will have that in advance.
Grover says, it doesn't matter who says, if one agency says that, look it, we believe that the liability is greater than we're willing to assume and votes no, I believe that there would be then, in fact, something to look at. I honestly do believe that. I think the court of law said, well, yeah, we're one of five, and it was 4-1, and we didn't want to do it, but since we all ride in the same boat, we had to go along. But formally, we've said no.
Okay.
You know,
that's your prerogative, but...
Oh, I'm not saying we are going to say no. I mean, I am very supportive of this. We need to do this. We need desperately to do this. Is there more than one way to skin a cat? I guess I don't know. Maybe I've been on the city council too long. Maybe I'm getting too manipulative in my old age. But you know, there should be a better way to do this than the verbiage that's in that resolution there.
You know, we've been splitting hairs over this thing for 4 or 5 years. It's time to say, let's move forward with it, because we could talk about it for the next 5 years and still have the same problem, in my view. But I won't be here then.
I'm going to keep you around. I'll do what I can.
I think the staff did consider numerous ways, and I know we did discuss. We discussed with the TAC. I don't recall if we discussed it in the advisory committee meeting about actually trying to change the contracts with each agency, and we all thought that was pretty much a nightmare. We didn't want to go through that.
Yeah, it would be a nightmare. Yeah.
I think the district is not comfortable in just implementing the plan with any kind of an informal agreement or any kind of a consideration that's not under a public hearing, that the agency has in fact said, yes, we want to do this and it's worth the risk. I think that's where we're coming from.
Yeah, see, where I'm coming from is I think that it just ought to be a gentleman's agreement and we just ought to move forward and do it, but that's how my mind. Let's open this up to the public. Does anybody in the public have any comments on this at all? Any input?
Just on this subject or any subject?
Just on this subject right now. All right, hearing none, I'll bring it back to the committee.
Mr. Chairman, if I might, I still think it's a very good idea to have our staff take a look at, and maybe there's nothing there by the time they get through with it.
Well, my only comment to that, though, Mr. Versailles, is that if, in fact, it comes before the council and presented as a resolution and it is voted down, that is an action. In order to implement what you're saying, which I like very much, is that the city attorneys or the risk management people or all should get together and look at this thing jointly rather than bringing it before each agency for a vote, because that's what you're asking.
I suggest
to do.
Let's see what they come back with. Let's not look too far downstream. Let's let them look at it. If there's something that's very important or something they consider a fatal flaw or whatever, bring it back to the county and we can talk. We as a body can talk about it and see where we want to go.
But the problem is, as I understand it, is Mr. Benedict has already stated that he is going to be contacting the cities next week and giving them this thing to put to agendize for October meetings, and that's what I'm trying.
I was recommending we get that in advance. Have a chance to review it, make comments back before we go to the trouble to try to agendize it.
Okay, so it's okay. That's good.
And maybe everybody comes back, maybe the attorneys come back and they say, yeah, you know, for what you're trying to do, this mm-hmm. fits it, and we have no problem. I don't know. I'd rather hear what they have to say than try
I
to
would too.
Anticipate too much.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm like you. I have some reservation. I have some concerns about.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing then, what Mr. Versa is suggesting, is that we ask county staff to forgo calling or getting a hold of the cities to schedule this as an agenda item, maybe put that off until November, but yet get this information to the jurisdictions immediately, have an interpretation, and then have feedback prior to agendizing these for a final vote. Is that what I'm hearing? Is it? Mm-hmm. I agree with that personally. Do I have any other comments?
I like that idea also.
Okay.
Ordinarily, it'd go to the TAC.
Oh, I think it's going to go to the TAC too. So that'll be at the next TAC meeting. So do you need a motion on this or just consensus?
No, just a consensus.
All right. The consensus then that I'm hearing is just that, and TAC also be included in receiving that information. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Then.
I'll just make a commitment to you, Dean, that as soon as we release this water into the creek. Thereby saving water behind the dam. I've talked to several staff people in the recent weeks and anticipate that what we will likely do is come together with our environmental people, our operational people out at the plant, our management people, and we will determine a process, a procedure, how much, when, how often we anticipate that we may be able to, based on rainfall events, based on stream gauge readings, based on stream heights, which will be real-time data that we will be receiving, how we actually implement that, how much we open it, how much we close it, when we do it, for how long, and that type of thing. So over the next probably 3 months, I'm scheduling a sort of a program for us to have some meetings to figure that out, to put it down in paper. So I anticipate there will be very few, if not more than two, people that will be authorized to open that valve or close that valve, and that will be based on a lot of review and evaluation by more than one person, so people don't get things confused or look at wrong data or that type of thing. And I'm anticipating, as you have requested, that and as included in the motion that I read to you, but that we would likely try to have that in place by the 1st of January or thereabouts, so that generally our rainy time that we have excess water would be in January, February, and March. And that, at that time, we would have a procedure in place that would allow us to do that.
Is that valve electronic?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Are there any comments?
I have questions. Just think about the earlier comments that this winter, if we have a reasonably good winter, that dam's going to fill up, and at that time so it starts to spill, I guess, and then as a flood control feature, if we see that there's a large storm or series of storms coming, then we start releasing water out of that, I assume, to try and control that.
We would, yes, because it is a flood control facility as one of its several components. We have a very limited amount of water we can release through the, I think it's a 36-inch pipeline release at the bottom of it. I'm not sure. But we would try to do that if it got near capacity very, very early in the season or, January, February. We'd be looking at that very hard. And actually, we did this year. We did a pretty brief analysis to make sure. I think the last storm that we had in the end of March, we did look at that to make sure.
The life cycle of a steelhead trout or a red-legged frog or any of these endangered species that are there. But let's say that in February we just get a very, very large wet storm that comes in, and that spills, the dam spills, and then sends a torrent of water down the creek bed there. Is there any of the species that are in there at that time of the year, the January and February and March?
Yes, there are.
So this could infect.
Not after that, though. They're down in the ocean.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Then they got to come back.
Right, but there is no liability on us because we allowed the dam to spill. It was a freak storm, and we couldn't get the water out of 36-inch pipe. We have no liability for a kill on that.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, very good. This is all pretty interesting stuff.
I worry too much.
I do. I worry all the time. If you were in Pismo Beach, you'd worry all the time, too. okay. Any further questions or anything? Okay. Let's move along then. Dean, the Habitat Conservation Plan status report, please.
Yes, just a very brief report on the Habitat Conservation Plan. We have received back from our consultant, Stetson Engineering, a detailed revised analysis of a different methodology for the model that was prepared that shows different scenarios of releases for environmental because the dam is there compared to when the dam wasn't there. These hydraulic models have been prepared, and they're being reviewed by our coordinating consultant, Hansen Environmental, and we should be getting that back within the next week or so, and that will... Hansen has been... has agreed, and National Marine Fisheries Service has agreed to talk technically about these models and work out details and issues about recognition and acknowledgement of the way they were prepared. And those negotiations will be taking place in the next month or two. We didn't want to expend any resources or staff time until that was finished, going back and talking to U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service about frogs, because the fish apparently have priority at this point. So once National Marine Fisheries Service's negotiations are done and they're satisfied with the consultant's work, then we will be continuing in that front and then getting back to U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and we anticipate that will be a couple of months at this point. And that's the end of that report.
Okay. Any comments? Yes. Technical Advisory Committee, please.
Thank you. The TAC committee members, of which Mr. Wallace, who is here, and Mr. Gehring here is here, are members, is a technical committee. There are five formal members that represent the five agencies that receive water from Zone 3. And I did research and discussed it with the TAC members itself to try to figure out how were you guys appointed. And the conclusion I came to is that there are no written rules about that, no procedures. The policy is that the city engineers or the city representative of the agency, such as Mr. Wallace, are the appointed members, and they are designated to be on that TAC committee. The TAC committee is to discuss, evaluate technical issues, and provide recommendations to your advisory committee. That meeting, the TAC committee meeting, is not a public meeting. It would get very distracted and protracted by having it being diverted by political or other issues. So that's the purpose of that. The question came up in the past about who should, could, or could not attend, and there was some issues about who on the advisory committee could attend. The only concerns that we would have would be the Zone 3 Advisory Committee is a Brown Act committee, and as you know, under Brown Act, a majority of the committee members cannot be in one meeting at one time, I guess, for purposes of fairness. And as we discussed, since there are no formal rules to this, what seems to make sense is that if any of your members who are not normally at that meeting wanted to come, then we would just assure that if Mr. Gehring and Mr. Wallace and maybe Mr. Runnels were there as delegates, that we would make sure one of them wasn't there and someone else came in their place. So the short story is anyone's invited. It would probably be helpful if you were going to come to a TAC meeting, let me know or let someone know, and we could make sure we didn't have a Brown Act problem. But we're not recommending that we put anything in writing because it's not formal and it's been operating fine as we see it.
There you go. Any questions?
Just one. Dean, do you staff that meeting as well?
Yes, I do.
Thanks.
Okay. How many members from the Zone 3 advisory is at the TAC, is part of the TAC?
Two.
Okay, so we could have one more person there without a violation.
Yes, that's correct.
Because the members that we do have of TAC are, of the board, are technical by the dam capacity increased historical research.
Yes, at the previous meeting, one of the previous meetings, it was suggested by one or several of your committee members that we investigate increasing the height of the dam in order to store more water. I
told you that I would go back and try to research what information could be found that had already been done with respect to accomplishing that or concepts regarding that. I had one of my staff members exhaust our files and our staff resources and try to find out what studies that had been documented to do that. And I found no written reports or studies that indicated anything that any concepts to increase the capacity of the dam. At the last meeting, I believe Mr. Wallace mentioned there were some ideas about some maybe some temporary sandbag increases a little bit of a height, and I know Mr. Gehring mentioned a labyrinth type of a concept that was investigated sometime in the past. I could not find either of those. I still have not heard from Lawrence Fisk and McFarland, which I believe Jim indicated was somebody who had done that. There were a couple of reports that I was told during the dam seismic remediation project investigated that. I called and tracked those sources down, and there may have been some informal work that was done by the designers when the remediation project was done, but I was unable to find anything in writing about that. So I just wanted to give you that report back. I have a list of all the resources we looked at, and I wanted to find out. I can follow up on the Lawrence Fisk and McFarland to see if I can find anything more from that source, but other than that, I found nothing, and I wanted to find out how much more your staff wanted me to look for or do anything on that issue.
Mr. Wallace?
I think that's a good report. That Dean has done a good job of researching some of the past folklore about increasing the capacity of the dam. But specifically, when I was with the county many years ago, working with Clint Milne, I believe it was Clint that had been talking about the labyrinth spillway idea. And Clint had also been familiar with, both he and I used to work for LA County Flood Control District, and there was a situation down there at the time that we both worked there where the district sandbagged the spillway of San Gabriel Dam to increase.
But a foot and a half of water over the surface of that entire lake is a lot of water.
That was the idea.
You know, a lot of water.
How much water is it?
It's a foot and a half deep at any place you step.
How many acre feet? How many acre feet?
It's 100 acre feet.
Yeah. Well, the capacity is 50,000 acre feet, but it's a pyramid, so
yeah.
The pyramid gets much larger at the
much
top.
Much larger at the top, yeah. And would there be, because I'm interested in this, would there be any liability with reference to the new retrofit on the dam that they felt that they would feel that it couldn't? I mean, if they guaranteed that it'll just do it to that level, do you know?
Well, that's exactly why you go through the analysis to check to see that there's not a problem with that.
Yeah.
And also with DSOD, because although the forces of 1.5 feet of water can be adequately held back by sandbags or some temporary measure, if it were to breach, that'd be a fair amount of water going down the creek at one time.
I did, as I was going through several issues, the seepage, there is seepage under the dam. I guess there's seepage under all dams. I'm not an expert on that, but apparently the seepage under the dam does increase significantly as the dam gets higher, which probably makes sense to all of us. Not a big issue, but that is something that the resident engineer who worked on the dam did mention to me, and there's actually several charts that indicate how that works as the dam capacity increases, which is, of course, that's a release into the underground water, which is what we're doing anyway.
Exactly, right. Exactly, yeah. Well, does anybody want them to sandbag the dam? Does anybody want them to look at sandbagging the dam?
Dean, I did find an old study today that I haven't had a chance to look at, you know, rummaging through my old records, and it refers to labyrinth-type spillways on several dams, including Lopez. So I'll get you a copy of that.
I appreciate it.
Clint would be a good resource, as John says.
Okay. Could you give a brief explanation of a labyrinth?
Yes. The current spillway that we have at Lopez Dam is designed to spill a certain amount of water when the reservoir is under a certain size storm. And under that design condition, the spillway reaches a certain depth. And in my recollection, it's on the order of 4 or 5 feet over the Lopez spillway. And at 4 or 5 feet of depth the spillway in its current condition would spill, let's say, on the dam.
Oh. See what I mean? Thank you. I don't have no idea what he said. I guess. Well, thank you for that. Okay.
Ask ye shall receive.
I know.
Well, if you would like, Jim and I can get a blackboard and we'll go through the hydraulic calculations.
Yeah, right. I just absolutely love that, every minute of it. Okay, let's move on to new business, please, and that would be the Dam Remediation Outstanding Engineering Award.
Yes. I brought with me a plaque. For those who don't know, last year the local American Society of Engineers chapter gave an award to the Lopez Dam Seismic Remediation Project as the Outstanding Civil Engineering Project of the Year. And I'll hold that up here if I can, and maybe you can put the camera on it because it's kind of a nice plaque. Bronze plaque that we anticipate will be mounted at the dam. And I brought this because I'm not sure any of you have seen it.
No, and they misspelled my name.
As I said, this was done by the local San Luis Obispo chapter of ASCE. This project, being the award winner for the local chapter, was submitted to the Los Angeles chapter, of which San Luis Obispo was one of 10 chapters for Los Angeles chapter of ASCE. And I'm happy to announce that the ASCE chapter voted this project to beat the LA chapter Outstanding Civil Engineering Award, and there will be a presentation for this award down in Los Angeles, which a couple of our staff members will go down to. I believe that's next month. We will get according to the information that I got, there will be a trophy case type of a presentation for this award. I know that we do get this type of a plaque through the ASCE. I think for local awards, there's no charge for it. But I wanted to know, or just throw it out for you to consider, is that we could have a Los Angeles chapter plaque done that would be similar to this, and innovative efforts and achievements over adverse conditions. The criteria includes innovative approaches to funding, advanced technology and materials, and the size and immensity of the project. And the LA section project was the Outstanding Government Civil Engineering Project Award for the Los Angeles section. So I wanted to bring that to your attention and just congratulate you on that.
Yeah, absolutely. That is absolutely wonderful. Yeah.
And that took a lot of years to get there.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it did.
You know, from a historical perspective, we have a gal in Pismo Beach named Effie McDermott. And whenever we want to know, like we have parks, I Release Park. Well, where in the heck did I Release Park come from? Who was that or who was this? You lose so much over the years. And I hate to sound like John Brown, former mayor of Pismo Beach, but are we going to put plaques with the then current members of the Zone 3 at the water plant? That's God punishing me for bringing it up.
Bless you.
Thank you. But are we going to do any of that kind of stuff? I mean, give some reckon to history and who was involved back in those days and.
Well, if you put that at the water plant, not very many people are going
to. Well, no, I understand that, but there's going to be water people of the future that are going to say, "Oh, Runnels, I remember him. What a dear man."
Hmm.
Yeah, that's what I would say, too. Anyway, it's just, I don't know. Okay.
I can't answer your question if that is a question that there are no commemorative elements included in the upgrade at this point.
Okay. I mean, I could see this statue right at the front of the dam going in there, you know. It'd be
the statue of Bill Rabbit.
Well, I don't care.
A lot of graffiti on it.
Bill? Yes, and I'm going to open this up as well. In fact, let's do that before committee member comments. I'd like to open to the public, see if there's any comments on any issues that we've discussed on the agenda or otherwise. Please give your full name and where you live.
Is this on?
Yes.
Okay. My name is Ted Herring. I live in Pismo Beach. I'm on a planning commission, and that's about it. Last time I addressed this committee was when we were getting ready to put stone columns into the front of the dam. And tonight was a very good night to come because I appreciate everything that y'all had to say, and it was good to be brought up to date on what's going on. To tow your boat up there and put your boat on the lake. I'm a bass fisherman, and that gets pretty steep. That's a 20% increase in one year on a particular fee. And I don't know if this committee has anything to say about that, but it'd be kind of nice, since the people in Zone 3 are already paying for some of that dam repair and all that kind of thing, and we're paying a fee through our water bills, if maybe they could make some sort of reduction for people who live within Zone 3 to put their bass boats on that lake and reduce those fees both at Santa Margarita and at Lopez. Let's see, there was I guess that's about it. That's kind of what, you know, that's a what I'd like to see as I get a little older, that we ought to be able to put our boats on that lake and get some bass fishing done, maybe at a little reduced rate because we're paying additional fees. The other thing I wanted to ask the representative was whether or not we had plantings of trout that either went up or down this last year with the reduction in state budgets and county budgets. If we're not going to reduce fees for local fishermen, maybe we can put more trout in that lake that help feed the bass, so that we can have a little better bass fishing than we've had in the past. Thanks a lot for your
good
time.
Thanks, Ted. One of the things I do know there was not a reduction in the amount of trout that were introduced to the lake this past year. All right, let's move along to committee member. Sure.
I have a question of the gentleman. How much did you say it cost to put a boat on the lake, sir?
He can't hear very well. Hey,
Ted
Herring.
It was.
What did you say it cost to put your boat on the lake?
$170 for your. For your car and your boat.
That's for a year pass.
That's for a year
for
pass.
Both of them.
Yeah,
I thought it was every time. Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
it's the cheapest way you can do it. Otherwise, it's $9 for your boat and $9 for your car. So, okay. So one of the things that... you know, you got to throw your boat up there. You can't drive it.
You're for whoever might show up at the gate. It's my recollection, though, that it was also discussed that once the Davis-Grunsky bonds were paid off, that we might have more freedom in how we managed our fee structure. And I do think that we are getting quite close to paying off those Davis-Grunsky bonds. So that issue perhaps could come back to technical committee and the advisory committee when we get closer to paying off the Davis-Grunsky bonds, to see whether we want to look at a couple of things. One, who is operating the park, whether it needs to continue to be general services or whether we want to operate it as the zone, and how we want to deal with the fee structure.
Okay. Do you know off the top of your head when that...
I believe it's 2 years. I believe in
two years
that will be completed. And yeah. General services is, as we mentioned at a previous meeting, evaluating having a consultant do the operation of the Lopez Lake Recreation Water System and Wastewater Treatment Plant in this year, maybe starting that next year, depending on their considerations.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
To go along with what Mr. Gearing said, is that it would be my view that if you were to reduce the fees for fishermen or boaters or people going in on a daily basis that live locally, then you're also going to have a bunch of people that live locally that go in and use it as a campground. and you've got a, you know, it costs you $25 a night to put a trailer there in your car. So, but when you start opening the door, it's going to get wider and wider and wider, and I don't know whether it would be worth all the extra problems to bite off a hunk like that.
All right, good. Okay, yes, Vern.
Yeah, the excess funds from the operation of the lake and the campground over expenses, where do they go? Do they stay with
county?
The
county? No.
They don't stay with the park?
Sure they do.
I don't believe there's any significant excess funds. We have, as I think I mentioned this earlier, or last meeting, that they've requested that we reduce our operating expenses by 5% this year, both in the water operation and the wastewater treatment plant. So I don't believe the park makes any money.
They don't.
No. Okay. All right, good. All right, let's move on now to closing committee comments. I'll start with Mr. Wallace.
They had a very good project from the engineering perspective.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
and
we'll
especially if there's another certificate or plaque from the LA section, that would also be appreciated that we can pass along to our boards.
Okay.
And then secondly, looking at the cost of Lopez Water for our budgeting purposes, I know that we had some preliminary analysis, straight, that was changed a little bit subsequently for our estimated cost. Are there any further revisions coming this year, or are we pretty well locked on projecting into not only this fiscal year, but for 07, 08, 08, 09, where they're due to peak, if I remember, at about $1,800 an acre foot? For Avila, that is.
The last analysis, I believe that we did the five-year billing estimate for the different agencies. We historically try and issue them in January, and I believe we issued one subsequent to January's as we are making decisions about the financing arrangements with the water treatment plant upgrade. There are no changes at this point that I'm aware of, but we will look at it again in December and do another five-year billing estimate, or we can look at it sooner if you have some concerns.
We do a mid-year budget review, as most agencies do, and so in January would be good for that mid-year budget review. We were pleased, I think, that your second projection was a little bit lower than your original projection, so that was great.
Good.
But Avila is running on a shoestring, of course, and any projections that we can use to see where our cash flow will be would be very helpful as we go along through the fiscal year.
Okay. Will January be a good time?
That'd
okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And just adding to that, I might add that I've tried to keep the committee abreast of where we are on the upgrade project, which is a $15.3 million construction contract. And $26 million total. We are only at this point around $60,000 expended of contingencies, of which we have about $1.5 million. And I anticipate that we will hopefully at the end of the project not be more than a maximum maybe $200,000 into that $1.5 million contingency. So we're certainly trying to keep that down, and that would be a non-expense to the agencies.
I have one more question I forgot to ask when you were presenting that your budget tracking for the treatment plant upgrade.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You have the amount authorized as the kind of the middle column there, and I presume that means that it was either adopted by the Board of Supervisors as part of the budget process or independently approved as part of a contract authorization with the consultant, or does it have some other connotation?
The most of those authorizations, and Straith might need to help me with this, but are contracts that have been awarded by the board, and the estimates, the construction contractor is the contract amount, Paul Membrane is the contract amount, and these have been adjusted to match the contract amounts that have been approved by the County Board of Supervisors, and the balance of those that are not contracts are estimated, which are the estimates that we provided to your committee and the TAC previously as our best budget estimate.
That's correct.
Okay, so a budget estimate may not be authorized until it goes through a process.
For example, contingency was authorized by the board based on the construction amount, but it's a maximum at that point, a maximum authorization.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Wallace. Mr. Dahl?
Just something real simple and quick. Do you have a location and time for the mounting of that plaque?
I may have confused you. This plaque is our local plaque, and we have not yet found a spot to put it up at the dam. We will, and I actually found out only about 3 weeks ago that we had this plaque, and it wasn't installed up there. So us engineers want to go build something, so we're going to find a place to put this soon, and we're going to get somebody to do it for free for us. That's what we hope to do. Contractors are very willing to cooperate on things like this and provide some pro bono assistance to us. The meeting in Los Angeles will be, is that the date you were looking for, or the date for installation of this?
The date for the installation of the plaque.
When I find that out, I will certainly let you know, because we don't get a chance to ride down the street in fire stations and fire trucks very often, and I have been kidding the people out at the water plant that when they brought the Paul membrane equipment through downtown, that if I'd have known it, I'd have had balloons and streamers on it. But they didn't tell me, and I missed that opportunity. So if I get a chance, I will do that, though, myself. So we will let you know on this when we mount it and have it done.
Sounds like a good excuse for a barbecue.
Absolutely.
Hopefully in a place that can be seen by the most amount of public.
Yeah, yes.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Garrick?
Nothing more, thank you.
Mr. Versa?
Thank you,
having concluded our business for the evening, this meeting is adjourned.